Wall Street gets a blank check while Main Street picks up the tab. Politicians raise taxes while the private sector picks up the tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome to the only live and local show dedicated to the private sector and turning our economy around. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
And a good Sunday afternoon to you, 7 minutes after 4 o'clock, as we kick off the voice of the private sector. Welcome to Business Briefing here. I'm Brian Bushlack. Our quest to kill Oregon's death tax before it kills Oregon business kicks off this afternoon. Stay tuned. In our next hour, we'll bring in Kevin Mannix and Doug Weathers, who are behind the initiative petition to kill Oregon's death tax. I'll give you more information on that coming up in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, we want to get to the latest economic news with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday afternoon. And I want to backtrack a little bit, first of all, and pick up the numbers from last week's job report. They were horrible. April numbers revised down. Really tracking now for a repeat performance of 09, 10, and 11. Now, do you expect this downward trend to continue?
I'm unsure, Brian. I'm not ready to make that assumption. I think there's been a couple things happening that are positive. You know, the service sector expanded, and you know, the Fed beige book came out and was relatively positive all the way across the country. And I think when Bernanke testified on Thursday morning to the Joint Economic Committee, you know, he pointed out that what we may be seeing here is the effect of early hiring, weather-induced hiring earlier in the year, and we just are having a little bit of balancing. So this may be, again, a data point reaction. And we've talked about that before, how we tend to react to data points and not trends. If you look at the overall trend, it's still downward. You're going to have a couple more increases in unemployment before you break the trend. So I think it's a little early to throw the towel in and say this is similar to the last 2 years. We certainly have enough external factors that it may become so, but I'm not ready yet to preach doom and gloom.
You know, it's a political year. Obviously, we try to toe the line on that on this show, but there's no question that politics and business must mix at some point. We have so many business leaders out there that I talk to who think that we can simply swap out the president and things will turn around immediately. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. How realistic is that? And are the issues we're dealing with more systemic?
It's not realistic at all, and the issues are very, very systemic. I doubt seriously that the policies of either presidential candidate, the current sitting president or the aspiring president-to-be, I doubt seriously that those policies will have any meaningful impact on the economy. We have, as we've also discussed before, a very fundamental underlying problem, and that is that we use credit to expand this economy very rapidly over the last 30 years. And we did so because of population growth, immigration, a lot of other reasons. We're seeing a repeat of the U.S. phenomena in China. The Chinese economy has expanded very rapidly in the last 10 years, and they've done so by a tremendous increase in credit in that country, and now they're trying to dampen that fire a little bit. So when you use credit to that degree, you become highly leveraged, and you've heard the term that we're deleveraging. We're really not deleveraging. We're refinancing. We're lowering the actual debt burden by lowering the interest rates. But that still limits the potential economic growth, especially when you have an economy that is 70% consumption. So the American consumer, while lowering their monthly payments through refinancing, still has about $2.7 trillion in debt. There is no pent-up growth from the consumer. There's a lot of cash at the corporate level. There is a tremendous amount of liquidity in the world. But a lot of it's sitting on the sidelines because of external factors, the European situation, the slowdown in China. There's all sorts of things that impact it. So I doubt seriously that either The sitting president or the Republican nominee, I doubt seriously that whether their policies will have any profound impact on the economy.
I want to sidetrack, too, if you're just tuning in here past the 4 o'clock hour. This is Business Briefing. We have Patrick Stone joining us from Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And, Pat, I want to sidetrack a little bit and pick up what you said about the liquidity out there and money on the sidelines. When Joe Sixpack hears that, he says to himself, well, if there's so much money on the sideline, why haven't I had a raise in 5 years? You know, why isn't the economy improving if there's so much money on the sidelines?
Well, that's there's a loaded question, Brian. I think, you know, we have a couple factors going on here, and this might also, we can also segue into a little conversation about the local economy here in a second. Couple things going on here. You know, you have automation, you have globalization, you have a lot of issues that tend to keep wage pressures down because you have competing wage or competing labor sources between automation and worldwide labor market. You know, you've taken some of the wage control away from the worker. How that is counteracted is going to be by a more skilled labor force, and that can't be universally applied without having the same, you know, the same impact. I mean, this is just the reality of a global economy and the reality of automation. So, you look at the Oregon economy. You've noticed that I think we had the second fastest growing GDP in the country. That was an article in the Oregonian this week, trailing only North Dakota, my home state. But we had a very significant and I think surprising increase in our economy in Oregon, and it was due to manufacturing. And if we can invest in getting a more skilled labor pool, and manufacture a more complex product in this country, our labor force will see some increase in compensation. Otherwise, this is a byproduct of globalization and automation, and I don't know what the answer is to change that.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. That would open up the entire higher education discussion, which we need to save for another show, but it's a good point. Almost at the turn here in 2012, hard to believe it's almost mid-June. If you had to put a number on GDP, Pat, for the rest of the year, what would it be, and what's your outlook here for the second half?
Well, I think 2% is probably... it's probably the number. If we have some resolution of the concern around Europe, it could go up to 2.5%. But you have a lot of worldwide factors impacting the upside on GDP expectations. I am not as negative as some. I doubt seriously that we will dip into another recession, and I doubt seriously that GDP will be much under 2 in any particular quarter this year.
And what gives you that hope? I know we had breakfast this past week, and you were a little pessimistic. What makes you optimistic about that forecast?
Well, I think it's just that we do have a certain amount of resolution that has set in our population, and a determination that has set in. And if you know, this is more anecdotal than it is factual, but I think if you look around, people have decided to work their way out of the problems, mm-hmm. and people are resolving situations. People are working hard. They're being innovative on an individual level. I think we have a stability coming into the housing market. I think the acceptance of the problem has set in, and I will tell you, I'm in a lot of ways proud to be an American, because I honestly think the American population has resolved to work its way out of this problem, albeit slowly. There is no quick fix, but there seems to be less fixation on the downside and more determination now. And I think, again, that's anecdotal, but that's one man's opinion.
No, I will second that, because I've got an entire generation of guys my age who had never experienced anything close to this when it comes to a recession or borderline depression. And you talk to guys like me in their early 40s who say there are things that happened that I did, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago that I look back and think, I'll never do that again. I'll never spend money on that again. And, you know, never say never, but it's had such a huge impact on, Gen X business men and women, I think, that I would agree with you 100% on that we're retrenching and we're on our way back. And We are indeed in the best country on the face of the earth. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pat Stone. We'll talk about the 10-year Treasury. Can you believe this thing dropping below 1.7%? We'll also give you more information on how you can sign the initiative petition to end Oregon's death tax. I'll give you those phone numbers and emails right after this break.